What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and it means one thing and one thing only. I am your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edar Zooming, coming to you here on April 29th, 2024. Ugh, that's a Monday. Unfortunately, for all those of you who keep tabs of things like that. And I appreciate you being here on a Monday, getting your week started with the Zoo Yorker. Make sure to hit that subscribe, that follow button. That way you can get all the notifications once this podcast drops on whatever app it is that you happen to be listening to my beautiful, sultry tones right now. And if you happen to like those beautiful, sultry tones, or you just feel so inclined to, why don't you drop a little 5-star review? It helps get more eyes onto the podcast, and it helps get more people to understand what we're doing over here with this thing of ours. But I just want to say appreciate you all once again. And if you got anything you'd like to say to me, holla at me on the Twitter machine, on the X machine, on the Elon Musk machine, at ZooBeard77. That's ZOOBEARD 77 on that Twitter machine. And oof, oof, oof. I know it's Monday, but the vibes have to be high. The vibes have to be high if you are a Knicks fan today, because wow. I mean, that's all I can say is wow. That was a phenomenal performance yesterday, and especially from one Jalen Brunson, who, I mean, this man has been getting criticism left and right from people calling him not a superstar after two games in the playoffs, mind you, after two games, after he had a sick playoff run last year. So he says, you know what, drops 39 in game three, ends up being an L. That wasn't enough. Okay, let's go and drop 47 on their heads. 47 points for Jalen Brunson, 10 assists. He is the first Knick player, the first Knick player in franchise history to have 40 points and 10 assists in a playoff game, which blew my mind when I saw that, having such, I mean, incredible point guards in his franchise history for him to be the first to do that. But it's a testament to this man. He is a winner. He don't care. He is going for it no matter what. This Knicks team was down 10 at the end of the first quarter. What does he do? He gets out there and he starts getting a boogie. End of the third quarter, they try to injure him. They tried to injure him. These losers, Kyle Lowry, these losers, Nick Batum, these losers like Kelly Oubre, these losers like Joel Embiid, they tried to injure this man again and over again. They just decided at one point, Philly, they were just going to be dirty and just try to hurt everyone. And it's clearly gone to their detriment because they're down 3-1 at this point. But, hey, if they keep taking guys out, I guess they figured the Knicks won't even have enough guys to play in a game, so then they have to forfeit, right? I hate that team so much and that loser head coach, Nick Nurse. But what Jalen Brunson was able to do to them was a beautiful thing, because he shut their asses up. Who's going to talk now? Who's going to complain now? Nick Nurse is going to complain now, because Nick Nurse is a crybaby, because Nick Nurse understands that his career is being looked at differently now. Because he ain't done nothing since he hasn't had Kawhi Leonard. Oh, but everybody's going to tell me how great Joel Embiid is. Oh, Joel Embiid is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the world. He is the greatest. Oh, you can't say he's dirty because he's the best. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of that too. And I love it. Love it that Jalen is the one that's coming after them. I love it that Jalen Brunson is the man who is going right after Joel Embiid, going right after this Sixers team, after everything that they have tried to do through these first couple of games. And, you know, Brunson going after Embiid to the point where he is basically telling him, like, yo, man, I got to start looking at you a little bit differently. I got to start looking at you a little bit differently. And, you know, when that happens, I think that's a moment for a guy like Embiid where you kind of got to step back and look at yourself, because his entire career, all he's been looked at is just, oh, he's the fun-loving guy. Oh, he's so great. He's the best, man. Oh, Joe, oh, whatever. He's just a jokester, man. Nah, he's a dirty-ass player. And now that guys around the league are starting to look at him and go, bro, I don't want nothing to do with you. he's starting to go, oh, wait, I have to change this. I'm not dirty. Go sit my mom courtside. I'm not dirty. Go release this about me to the press, please. Go do this. I'm going to go do community service. No. You're a dirty player. You elbowed my guy Brunson in the face because you're a bitch. You went after Mitchell Robinson's leg because you're a bitch. You're losing 3-1 in this series because you're a bitch. And you're a loser. And you're pathetic. Jalen Brunson clears Joel Embiid. And he did yesterday for sure. And now this series comes back 3-1 to the Garden with a chance for the Knicks to close it out on Tuesday night. And a chance for the Sixers to send it back to Philly on Tuesday night. Which is something that absolutely cannot happen. So although Knicks fans, there's a lot of chest pumping going on today. There is a lot of trash talking going on today. This series is not over. This series is far from over. There is still one more game to win. And it is the most important game because it is the closeout game of the series. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there is no Bogdanovich for that game, if there is no Mitchell Robinson for that game, which, I mean, essentially the Knicks just won a game without either of those guys on the road. But if neither of those men are available for Game 5 on Tuesday, then it's going to be an uphill battle for this Knicks team, even though they're going to be at home. They're going to need to be just as close to perfect as they were on Sunday. And you're probably not going to get another 47-point performance out of Jalen Brunson. I mean, you might. You know, he's a superstar, but you probably are not going to get another 47 out of Brunson. So, that being said, you're going to need the secondary guys to step up. You're going to need Dante DiVincenzo to score double-digit points. You're going to need Josh Hart to put up double-digit points. You need Anunoby to score. You need Deuce McBride to score. And if Bogdanovich isn't there, you're going to need all of them to score. Because they're going to need to do this as a group. They're going to need to put it on this Sixers team and come out and just do it. They cannot sit back and allow this Sixers team to get into their rhythm or to get into the game. They need to come out immediately on Tuesday. 3 DiVincenzo, 3 Josh Hart, 3 Anunoby, and then let Jalen Brunson get to work. Then let Hartenstein get a layup. That's what needs to be done. And when you get all that, when you put all that through, and you have a nice 10-point lead, and they're calling a timeout in the first quarter, just remember, keep your foot on the neck and press down as hard as you freaking can. Because this Sixers team never, never took a moment to not do that to you. They came at you this entire time, and all they wanted to do was not beat you on the court, was to physically maim and injure. That was their edict, and that's what they were doing. And that's sad for a professional game. But at least you know what they're trying to do out there. At least there is no ifs, ands, or buts about what the Sixers are going for. They are trying to injure. They're not caring about winning this series off the bat. All they want to do is take guys out. I don't give a damn what Nick Nurse wants to say about it after the series is over. I don't give a damn what a loser like Kelly Oubre wants to say about anything. All I care about is the Knicks embarrassing this team. All I care about is the Knicks going out there on Tuesday and ending the process. Ending the damn process already. It's been processing for years, and it's been processing slow as hell. And we got into what? A first round exit in 5 games? Where you had to cry your way for that one win? Oh, baby. Please. These Knicks need to come through. They just need to come through. And from what I've seen all year, my eyes aren't lying to me when they tell me that this team is that damn good. And they're going to win. They just need to get it done on Tuesday. Cannot allow this series to go back to Philly, even though there are some things, like I said, that are stacking up against them with Bogdanovich and Mitch probably both not playing. There are going to be some issues, but great teams overcome. And it's time for everybody to step up. This ain't a one-man show, even though he was able to get it done on Sunday. Shout out to Brunson once again, 47 points. What a dog. What a superstar. And enough hating on this guy. He is a superstar. And he's the type of superstar that you most certainly can win championships with. And this Knicks team is going to put it to the test. Let's go, baby. That was a huge one. That win made me so happy. About last night. Oof. We're getting better at that every single time, aren't we? You like this singing. Come on, admit it to me. You like this singing over there. Don't be joking around with yourself and lying and saying you don't. I'm loving it. I'm getting better. Just like those Rangers are, baby. Ugh. Another win for the Blue Shirts last night, coming through 4-2 over the Capitals to sweep that series. Get her done. On to the second round, where they await the winner of the Hurricanes and the Islanders. And let me just tell you something right now with this Ranger team. Goal one, check. Check. They got it done. Their first playoff goal in the books. Add that to the President's Trophy. Add that to the division win. Add that to the 50 wins. Add that to everything that's already been done so far. Keep it going. Now you wait and you see who you get in the second round. Most likely it's going to be the Canes, since they're up 3-1 playing at home versus the Isles. But you never know. You never know what those pesky guys from Long Island can do. But this Ranger team got themselves through. Off the back of superstars like Panarin and Zibanejad, who showed up this entire series. Zibanejad had points in every game. I believe it was Roslovich also with points in every single game this series. So the trade deadline ends up coming into play. Chris Drury, you can tip your cap on that one. Add the flair and the youth of a Lafreniere, of a Kaapo Kakko, and of course, a Matt Rempe, who, this might have been the series where Rempe showed himself to be a true NHL player to me. This might have been the series where I've been convinced that Matt Rempe is going to be a stud in this league. And not necessarily in the same way that Sidney Crosby or Panarin or anybody like that is. But I think he's a guy who sits on your third line, fourth line for the next 10 years. Not just the Rangers. He'll bounce around the league. He's not that good. But he's going to be a guy on the bottom lines of teams that is going to make them work. He's going to be the one that gets teams over the top because he's physical, but he's also skilled. And that's something that a guy like Tom Wilson on Washington is not. And I see a lot of people try to compare him to Tom Wilson. Or I see a lot of people trying to compare him to a guy like Jacob Trouba. The thing with guys like Jacob Trouba and Tom Wilson is that they're not nearly skilled the way that Matt Rempe is. They came up in a time of hockey where guys, the baseline of skills wasn't nearly as high as it is now. Rempe is a guy who is, I mean, listen, like I said before, he's not Sidney Crosby, he's not Panarin, he's not going to dance around on the ice with the puck, but stick him in front of the goal, he can create havoc. Put him out there on the ice, he's creating havoc. He knows how to play the game at a high level, and that's something that I didn't think that he could. I thought he was simply a goon who was out there to just drill people and, you know, take guys out of games, to be honest, and fight. That's what I thought of Rempe, and I thought having him on the playoff roster was going to be a distraction. And then when I saw him playing in game one, I said, I don't know about this. But he scored the goal to get the playoffs started, and ever since then, it's been all downhill for my guy. He has been crushing it for this team, and having a guy on your fourth line like that who's able to bring energy and to get things going, it's just, it's huge. And I want to bring up Tom Wilson again really quickly, because Matt Rempe could go down a road and become a Tom Wilson. But right now, he's not Tom Wilson. You know why? Because Tom Wilson showed you exactly why the league has passed him by last night. Late in that game, Rangers go up 3-2. On the goal celebration, he grabs Adam Fox as if they're, I mean, I don't even know. This is a dirty, dirty play. I mean, he just comes up behind him as Fox is skating to go celebrate with the guys. And you just see this jerk grab him by the neck and just try to start a fight with him. And just start to, you know, doing the classic hockey fight stuff where he's just throwing him around in a headlock and trying to act like a tough guy. And everybody's just looking like, what the hell is going on? And they rip him apart, and they you know, there's a couple of shoves, a couple of punches thrown. And I just got to be honest with you. That did nothing for anybody. That did nothing for the Capitals, because now you're on a power play. I mean, now the Rangers are on a power play. You're sitting in the box, and your team is down 3-2 with a couple minutes left in the game. So I don't know how exactly Tom Wilson thought that that was a smart move. And that was the type of thing that I was afraid of Matt Rempe doing. But after seeing a vet like Tom Wilson pull that off when Matt Rempe is just standing and doing his thing and not getting baited into anything and not being a stupid player, I mean, go ahead. Like, it makes me feel so much better about Rempe, and it makes me feel a lot better about where this Rangers team, that they're frustrating people that much, that that they're going to make a basically fatal error at the end of a game. Like, a fatal error. I love it. I love it. Because this is what happens to good teams. This is what great teams do. And this Rangers team is a great team. When you're a great team, you make others rage quit. You make others get pissed off so bad that they lose control of where they are. The Knicks are doing it with Embiid, and clearly the Rangers did it with Washington throughout the series, the entire team. I mean, there were times where TJ Oshie was going nuts out there. TJ Oshie. Like, what? Oh, but I love it. I love it from this Ranger team. And another unsung hero, or maybe not unsung hero, but a guy that I haven't sung the praises of yet, is Igor Shesterkin, who, listen, the guy has had some ups and downs this year. Jonathan Quick looked good at points, and people were going, oh, maybe you play Quick a couple more games, maybe you give Quick the starting job. Nah, this is Igor's team, this is Igor's city, this is Igor's run to the cup, so to speak. He's a superstar at the highest level of goaltending. He is an absolute star. When he is on his game like he was in Game 3, it's a beautiful thing to watch. When he's on his game like he was throughout this series, it's a beautiful thing to watch. So hopefully, this is just the start of things to come for Igor Shesterkin throughout the playoffs, because if you could turn him on to 1,000, woo! That boy's good. That boy's making a run. But we're going to have to wait now a few days until we get not only a winner of the Carolina Islanders series, but we also are going to need to wait until that series is announced a start date. I believe you'll probably get one next weekend. I think you'll probably get Rangers, whoever, game one, unless this goes 7 games with the Islanders and the Hurricanes. I would think that the game one for the Rangers will be either Saturday or Sunday of next week. So mark that on your calendars, either May 4th or 5th off of that prediction. So we're going to have a little time here to recoup, to catch the breath, to wait and see who exactly is going to be taking on the Rangers. And if you are so interested in seeing who is going to take on those Rangers, you must get yourself in front of a TV tonight, because the Capitals, why do I keep calling Carolina the freaking Capitals? I'm sorry if I just yelled too loud in your ear. But you're going to need to get in front of that TV Tuesday night. Isles Hurricanes, 7:30 from Carolina. If the Canes are able to win that game, they go through to the second round to take on the Rangers. But we all know, if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk, my friends. So you can't count on ifs. And if is a mighty powerful word. You know, I did sit here yesterday and say, hey, if the Mets come out and they get swept in this series versus St. Louis, that's pathetic. Well, they must have heard me, because they did not get swept in that series. They actually ended up winning the final game of the series on a walk-off hit from my guy, Mark Vientos. And wow. I mean, one, thank the Lord that this kid is up here. I mean, I don't think he's a superstar by any means. I don't think he's a great MLB player by any means. But you know what? The kid deserves a chance. When you see some of the pathetic players that this team has been trotting out there through the first month and a half of the season. So, Mark Vientos, good on you. Thank you for winning the game also. But good on you for coming up, giving a nice 2-run homer to walk it off in the bottom 11th and save the Mets from being swept in this series this weekend, which would have been an absolute disgrace for that team, especially coming off of the wins that they had in LA, and it would have just been an absolute disgrace. Now, the Mets go on tonight, taking on the Cubbies at home. Listen, the Cubbies are a good team, 17-11 at this point, and the Mets are trotting out Severino, who has been an absolute stud this season, and I think continues to do so tonight. But it's another series for the Mets, and that means you got to come through. You got to show up. You got to go off, and you have to win this series. The Mets need to be in the business of winning as many series as humanly possible going into the All-Star break, because if they continue to do things where they split or they lose back-to-back series, they're going to have a record that is going to be indicative of a team that is selling at the deadline. And I said this yesterday, I mentioned it yesterday, if they are sellers at the deadline, Pete Alonso will be gone from this team. So they cannot by any means or circumstances be sitting around waiting for this season to come to them. They have to go and attack it. I think they've done a fine job of doing that. And winning those games to save yourself from being swept are nice, but that's two series in a row where that happened. So if you do it a third time in a row, you're not going to get the type of love and adulation that I'm giving right now. It's going to be, okay, you got to win. Cool. You can't keep doing that. It's not sustainable, it's not healthy for a team, and it sure as hell ain't good for a fan base that is trying to rally around you to continuously get them up and then immediately torpedo them into the freaking ground every single time. But that's life as a Met fan. So, I mean, I don't know why I'm trying to act any differently. That's just life as a Met fan, is that you get shot up to the moon, and then right when you hit the clouds, you get smacked right back down to through the ground. So, hey, it is what it is. But it needs to be different for this team, and they need to take it differently. Sort of like the Yankees, who went into Milwaukee with all the criticisms in the world about their lineup, about this, that, your sister's ass. And I got to be honest, I even got on them. I even started to get on them after that extra inning loss on Friday night. I'm looking at this team and I'm going, why the hell can't they hit situationally? Why can't they go out there and get the job done? And now they still haven't had an opportunity to redeem themselves for that, but they did go on to score 30 runs over the next two games, which sounds like I'm lying or sounds like I'm making something up right now. But the Yankees went on to get 15 on Saturday and 15 on Sunday, totaling it all up to 30 runs over the two games and 36 overall over the entire weekend series. It's a loss for words kind of moment. The Yankees take 2 or 3 from the Brewers, who are a good team, and they did this to some decent pitching out there. But wow, when you talk about Judge homers, Volpe homers, Torres driving in runs. I mean, everybody getting involved. Rizzo hitting a couple of bombs over the two games. Stanton hitting a home run. Everybody that you need to show up is showing up. Everybody that we talk about being a key piece to this lineup shows up. When they do that, that's their potential. And now everybody can sit there and everybody can say, oh, well, you know what, if you take a perfect game for everybody around the league, then yeah, they're going to score 15 runs, but you're doing it back-to-back games. And you scored 6 runs the day before. So to say this is a flash in the pan would be incorrect. This is who this team is. Now, do they lack a clutch gene? Right now, they still do. Right now, they still don't have that clutch. They still don't have that oomph that makes them go. But I'm willing to sit here and say that I'll take my time with this Yankees team, and I'll let them grow, and I'll let them continue to get better. Because when it's all said and done, this is what they're going to be putting out there. When they get to their peak and they find their consistency, this is the type of stuff you can look forward to. Series over weekends where they put up over 25 runs. Series over weekends where they just completely demolish teams and take them out of games early. That's what you can look forward to. That's what I keep trying to preach to everybody. This is a great team. Not good, not okay, not really good, great Yankees team. One that when you look at them, in 20 years from now, we might be remembering in a very, very, very high light. Let's just leave it at that. I think this team has unbelievable potential. They've shown it, they've done it, and they are only going to continue to get better as the season goes along. So give them that time. The only thing I will say, and this is one thing they have to fix, because this is a legitimate criticism, they have to find a way to be more clutch in big situations late in games. They have to find a way. And early in games too. They have to figure out how to drive in a runner from third. They have to figure out how to get a hit with the bases loaded and drive home a run instead of grounding out to a double play. They do need to figure that out too. But by no means is this not a good offensive team. By no means is this team miles away from getting themselves on track. They're right there. They are right there. I'm just happy we got to witness that, explosion over the weekend. That was some fun. Milwaukee getting hit with the hammer over the head. Damn. That was a tough one for them this weekend, but great job by the Yankees. Yankees will get it going with a huge series with Baltimore down in Baltimore this week, down at Camden Yards. Beautiful ballpark. If you get a chance to go down there, head down there. Unfortunately, you probably would have had to have gone last night to either the Rangers or the Knicks game in order to make it really advantageous. But, hey, still head down there. Why not? Game's at 6:35 tonight. Get that thing on. There is no hockey tonight. The Mets, they play at 7 o'clock versus those Cubbies, like I said. And there is no NBA tonight either. So enjoy yourself a little free baseball Monday night. Nothing local outside of the Mets and Yankees. Maybe go read up on some of the draft prospects the Giants got and the Jets got. Maybe go and check out a little bit. Maybe flip on a little WWE with some Raw tonight. But just enjoy your night. Have a great one with you and yours and your significant others or your kids or your friends or your roommates or whoever it is that you are going to be with tonight. And if you're by yourself, remember you can hit me up at ZooBeard77, at ZOOBEARD77. Let me know what you're watching. Let me know you're watching, you're checking out. You're checking out the Thunder game, or you're checking out, you know, some hockey, or whatever. You're watching something going on somewhere else in the world that's not even on my radar. Hit me up at ZooBeard77 on the Twitter and X Machine. All the love to you guys. Appreciate you all being here. Enjoy your night. Enjoy your day. Please keep that power of positivity going, because if you keep that power of positivity, life will be good. As long as you can stay positive and keep that positive mindset. I mean, you can't control exterior factors, but you can control how you think. Try to stay as positive as possible and have yourself a beautiful day. All the love, but I must bid you adieu. Peace!